Hello and welcome to the Salt and Light Hour Part 2. I'm Deacon Pedro. Now, this may not be for everyone, but if you like epic novels, Christian medieval fantasies, Lord of the Rings style, you will love Denise Mallet's debut novel, The Tree. Have a listen. With only 2 months to save his country, Josiah has been dealt an impossible hand. He must find a myth, if a myth can be found. Setting out into hostile wilderness, Josiah begins crossing into the wilds of his own soul and into a realm beyond reason. And that's only one part of the story, because there's more. But to tell us, I'm now joined by Denise Mallet. Denise, welcome to the Salt and Light Hour.
Hello.
So good to have you on the program, finally. There's so much I want to ask you, but maybe we should start with, if you can give, what's the two-minute summary of The Tree?
Well,
if you can do it in 2 minutes, there's a lot.
I don't know if I could stretch it into 2 minutes.
Okay.
But basically, it's a it's like a spiritual adventure, kind of is how I like to put it.
Okay.
You've got, you know, the one side of the story is those two men journeying into wilderness to find this myth that is
right.
supposed to save their country from civil war. And then on the other side of the coin, you have political intrigue and treachery from the past being unburied. So
right. Okay, you know, that's good. That's good. Maybe we should tell people more so they can go buy the book. The novel was inspired by a dream?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about
when
that.
I was about 13, I think it was, I had this dream that I was flying through mountains and I spied this village below. So I went and landed in the village, and in an alcove in the wall surrounding the village, there was this tree planted there, and I saw a fruit hanging, so I went to pick one. And the moment that I picked one, this village, which had been until that moment completely deserted and silent, suddenly erupted with activity as all these villagers came streaming out, and they were angry. And so I realized I had done something wrong and dropped the fruit and flew up and away.
Right.
And so from this dream, I just it got the wheels turning, like, what was it that I had done wrong? It's in many ways linked to like the fall of mankind with the tree in the Garden of Eden.
Right.
This story is very different, but it kind of has the same flavor of temptation and that sort of thing. So.
Yeah, and I think I wanted to ask you about that because, I mean, it has been described as Christian medieval fantasy, and I get that it's medieval and I get that it's fantasy, but what makes it Christian?
Well, I wanted to bring our faith into the world without being too overt or cheesy.
Uh-huh.
So I've taken like familiar elements of our faith and given them different names and integrated them into the world. And it's the driving force behind the story, the characters, you know, journeys toward Adonai, God.
Right.
So.
Right. So you've taken things of our faith and give like Adonai and given it, not that that's such a different name for God. And there are other things like that. Is there also symbolism that like the larger the journey stands for? You know, Josiah and his companion are going into the wilderness, but that's also symbolic for, as you said, in that description, as I just read in the description, that it's kind of going into our own soul.
Mm-hmm. I think very much so.
Yeah.
In fact, in writing this story, like not everything I should say is my intent. What am I trying to say here?
Yeah.
I guess the reader can take different things from the story that I didn't necessarily intend,
mm-hmm.
but I leave it open-ended. So the reader could be journeying into their own soul as much as the various characters and kind of make it their own journey.
Yeah.
It certainly was a journey for me writing this book.
Yeah.
I would say one of the most intense spiritual journeys of my own life.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now we've spoken about Josiah. That's one of the main characters, but you have a female character, Rhianne, I believe that's how you pronounce her name, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's, again, I want to be careful not to give too much away, but she's very much, I guess she's very much the protagonist in the story. How much of her is you?
I would say a lot.
Yeah.
I think that's what made it easier to write her character, is that very much understood her journey of the desert. That's, I think, at the heart of her journey, is discovering beauty in the desert, purpose in the desert. That's been my spiritual journey, so I just translated that into a character. I just find that when I experience something beautiful in life, I want to put it down into words. So to be able to take my personal journey and put that, you know, into a character was very special for me. That's Rhianne.
And can I assume then, because you said you had the dream when you were 13, what, like 10 years ago, 9 years ago? I don't know. how much of this was being written as you're going through those key years in your life? And there's all kinds of other stuff happening in your life that is obviously your own experiences growing up, adolescence, is giving shape to the story.
Well, it took about 6 years to write. So yeah. it was a process of like developing the story as I was developing.
Yeah.
Between like the ages 13 and 17, I didn't really have the story down yet. And then when I was 17, I really felt the call that this was actually meant to be a book.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of scrapped it and kept, you know,
okay,
the essentials, like the tree.
Yes, yeah.
And then really began to write my story down. So from 17 to its publication, that's when a lot of my life story started coming out through the pages.
Right, yeah. But I guess a lot of that was already in you, just kind of brewing. Maybe brewing is not the right word. But
And learning to put what was inside me down in words. So learning what my style was, developing that.
Yeah. Now, you come from a large family. I actually know your dad and your mom, and I've been to your house in Saskatchewan. But how much has growing up in that environment, and you can tell us as much or as little as you want about your family and growing up, but how much has that influenced, do you think, not just this story, but your writing in general?
A lot. I had a very, very rich childhood, for the experiences, but also for the spiritual formation.
Yeah.
My parents have done an amazing job in giving us a faith and a love for our faith. And also our lifestyle. I see God easiest in beauty. That's where I connect with him. And so growing up, for a great part of my childhood on a farm, there were so many opportunities to meet God and see metaphors in the world around me there.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I would have written this book if I had not had the childhood that I was given.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, I mean, your dad's a musician. Maybe I should say your dad is Mark Mallett. But that's not where you were being. I mean, I'm sure that you guys all had a very musical upbringing and going on tour with your dad and your mom also sings. But that's not where you ended up. You know, you're not writing songs. You're writing novels.
I have written a few songs, actually, with my sisters. That is a love of mine. It's definitely on the side, but I've fallen more in the footsteps of my father regarding writing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's very cool. I know that you're writing a sequel.
I am writing a sequel.
Can you tell us a bit?
I was working on it today.
Oh, were you? Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes. It's the story that follows right on the heels of the tree, and it involves twisty political intrigue and adventure, as the country of Relen is seeking to claim the mountains before another country does.
Right.
So,
same
pretty
characters?
Excited about this. I was not planning on writing a sequel. I didn't want to write a sequel just because people wanted me to or because it would be smart, but I wanted to have an inspired story.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, the story just unfolded in my mind, and I started writing it, and it just was flowing from there. And
yeah,
it's kind of coming together in the same way that the tree was. So I'm just going with that, hoping that the Lord will carry me through to the end. So
well, that's good. I hope it doesn't take you 6 years to write the sequel, though.
Me too. I learned a lot in writing the first one, so.
No, that's great, and it's such a blessing that you're able to sit and write, actually, and that seems that God has taken care of things for you so that you're able to do that.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. I know that if I'm faithful to my calling to write, that He's going to pave the way for me, and yeah. He is. So.
Amen. Good, and hopefully a lot of our listeners will be interested in knowing more. So, one last question: What is your hope? People read this book. I read this book. What is your hope that this book will do for readers, other than just it's entertaining and it's a good story? What else?
Well, I hope that readers will be able to find purpose in their own sufferings through what the characters learned. That they'll learn. More about God and maybe even more about themselves. Mm-hmm. It's my hope that the characters are relatable. So it's the deepening of their faith, because even if I'm not necessarily writing about God, I want everything that I write to lead people to God.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that's what the tree does for people, and I hope that's what everything else I ever write does for people.
Amen. Good. Well said. Okay, I'm looking forward to the sequel. Absolutely. I want my own copy. Autographed.
All right. I'll sign it.
Very good. Okay. Yes. Sign it again. Okay. Good. Thank you, Denise. Thank you for making a little time for us today in the middle of your writing. And Merry Christmas.
Thank you. You too.
Happy Advent and Merry Christmas.
You too.
Denise Mallett is the author of The Tree. You can purchase the book just in time for Christmas. And learn more about Denise and her writing at her website, denisemallett.com. And that's Mallett with two L's and two T's, denisemallett.com.